we move to the next case this morning. U.S. versus Collins. Jim?
May it please the court, my name is Samuel Shim on behalf of Mr. Ryan Collins. In this case, fugitives who had been indicted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Wisconsin were given the task by the DEA to tape record various telephone conversations of their buyers in the United States in hopes of gathering evidence so that DEA could subsequently charge them with various criminal offenses. And one of those persons turned out to be my client, Mr. Ryan Collins. The defendant in this case was deprived of a fair trial where the taped telephone conversations were admitted into evidence, where the government failed to lay an adequate foundation for their admission. It is undisputed that none of the telephone conversations, or strike that none of the government witnesses who testified at trial in this case, could testify as to what happened when the taped conversations were taped in Mexico. While the government was able to establish a chain of custody of the audio recorder and the cell phone, once it fell into the custody of the DEA agents, we know nothing about where that audio recorder and the cell phone had been while it was in Mexico, in the hands purportedly of either Peter or Margarito Flores, or, for that matter, someone else. The question of whether the government offered clear and convincing evidence, which is a standard, that the proffered tape is true, accurate, and authentic recording of the tape telephone conversations between the Flores twins and someone purporting to be defendant must be answered in the negative. When we examine some of the factors which are considered in making rulings on the admissibility of tape telephone conversations, it's clear that almost none of those factors were satisfied in this case. One of those factors is that the device, recording device was capable of tape recording the conversations. By all accounts, Agent McCarthy, Agent Duarte, and Agent Galvin, who testified in an attempt to lay the proper foundation for the admissibility of these tape recordings, all admitted that they were not present when these recordings were made. They did not know the functionality of these tape recording methods and the processes. Second factor is that the operator of the device was competent to operate the device. Obviously, we don't know that because whoever allegedly made these recordings never testified at trial. Third, the recording is authentic and correct. I think there is a serious question as to that issue. Had either Peter or Margarito Flores came into court and testified that this is a true and accurate recording of the conversations that I had with Ron Collins, I don't think we would be standing before this court with this particular issue. The fact of the matter is the government cannot bootstrap themselves into a conclusion that this was an authentic tape recording conversation by simply putting up government agents to say that this is a proper chain of custody had been laid in this case. And finally, I think it's important to note that these Flores twins had been indicted by the government, and they were, in essence, courted by the DEA to, quote-unquote, work off their case before they came into the United States. And the questions were asked during trial by defense counsel, and Agent McCarthy admitted that, to the best of his knowledge, that they were still conducting drug sales while they were in Mexico. More importantly, they were still conducting drug sales while they were allegedly tape recording these telephone conversations. So I think in the end, position...
You're not asserting an entrapment defense, are you?
We are not.
And did not below?
No.
So So what's the point?
Our point is that the trial court in this case abused its discretion in deciding to admit these telephone conversations. When you look at the cases decided by the circuit in Eberhardt, Emerson, and Westmoreland, which we cite in our brief, the consensus or the uniform set of facts in those cases is that telephone conversations which were taped were made in the presence of either a police officer or a cooperating individual, and either the agent or the cooperating individual came into court and testified as to the process. They told the jury or the judge that what's contained in the tape recorded conversation is a true and accurate recording of the conversation that was had. So that is our argument as to the admissibility or the improper admission of those tape recordings. The second argument that I'd like to turn to is whether or not the district court erred in allowing a street value or the cocaine trafficking expert by the name of Robert Coleman to testify ultimately as to the element of an offense in this case. Officer Coleman testified that, referring to a conversation in the tape recording, namely $28,000 is reference to the purchase price of a kilo of cocaine, and that $29,500 is in reference to what the speaker wants to sell the kilo for. That went directly to Mr. Collins' intent to sell and distribute cocaine, which is prohibited by Rule 704B of the Federal Rules of Evidence, which provides no expert witness may state an opinion or inference as to whether the defendant did or did not have the mental state or condition constituting an element of the crime charge. The government compounded the error by eliciting from Officer Coleman, who testified in reference to this following statement, "If I try to get me $1,500 off each of them, the speaker is trying to make $1,500 off each kilo of cocaine that he sells." At the end of the day, Officer Coleman was allowed to render his opinion as an expert as to an element of an offense in this case. He unequivocally testified and told the jury that defendant intended to sell the cocaine and sought to realize a profit of $1,500 per kilogram of cocaine. So for those reasons and the reasons stated in our brief, Mr. Collins respectfully requests that this court reverse his conviction and sentence and remand the case for a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Elizabeth?
May it please the court, Catherine Malizia for the United States. As the case law in this circuit makes clear, the consensual recordings in this case were properly admitted through a combination of chain of custody testimony and extrinsic corroborating evidence, including voice identification and the internal consistency of the tapes themselves. How do we know this? First, we have testimony of agents, DEA agents, that they instructed Pedro Flores to purchase a digital recording device and make recordings of other participants in his drug trafficking organization whenever he felt it was safe to do so. Mr. Flores then turned over this digital recording device and the phone he used to create these recordings, Government Exhibit Phone 1, to the government, where it remained in the sole custody of the government until this evidence was introduced at trial. When Government Exhibit Phone 1 was analyzed, analysis revealed that there was a contact stored in that phone under the name Ron Ron, the conceded nickname of the defendant in this case. Toll records of a Chicago-based number, toll records for that number stored under the name Ron Ron in his phone, matched the three recordings admitted at trial that were extracted from the digital audio recording device. It matched the time, the duration, and the date of those recordings. Further, we have voice identification testimony from two witnesses who either spoke to the defendant or who had the opportunity to review over two dozen recordings of the defendant while he was incarcerated pretrial. In addition, the jury was able to make their own comparison of the speakers on these recordings based on a recording of defendant that was introduced at trial. Finally, the recordings themselves reference each other. They show a continuous conversation between Pedro Flores and the defendant of a drug deal. It continues over 3 days, and the dates on the recordings are referenced by defendant and Flores. Taken together, the government submits that they laid sufficient foundation from which a reasonable jury could have concluded that the recordings were authentic. Defense counsel points to no evidence that the recordings were tampered with, and as this court has held in, I believe it was United States v. Wilson, mere speculation that the recordings were tampered with is not sufficient to rebut the presumption of authenticity. Regarding Officer Coleman's testimony, Officer Coleman was an expert called by the government who testified strictly to the coded language in the consensually recorded calls. He did not testify about defendant's mental state. Indeed, he could not have testified about defendant's mental state because, as he made clear to the jury in his testimony, his only involvement in this case was in reviewing the transcripts of the consensual recordings. He did not know any of the facts of this case. He had never met defendant, and he reviewed no legal documents in this case. As defense counsel brought out on cross, and as, again, Officer Coleman made clear to the jury in his direct, the jury was properly charged on how to consider expert testimony, and under the circumstances, we can assume that they did just that. If there are no questions, I would end by asking that that this court affirm defendant's conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Officer Coleman did, in fact, testify as to the mental state. You can't get around his statement that $28,000 is what he intended to sell the cocaine for, and that $1,500 meant that was the profit that he sought to realize. The fact that he never met the defendant personally is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is he clearly told the jury that that was defendant's intent. As to the chain of custody and the extrinsic corroboration, we're not complaining about what happened with the recorder and the cell phone while it was in the United States. Our complaint is what happened in Mexico. Hands of persons who are highly motivated to work off their case so that they could return to the United States to get a lenient sentence or a disposition like all of the other so-called flippers who testified in this case. So for those reasons, we would respectfully request Your Honor to reverse the conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advice.